575. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. But there's something about that name. Let's sing it again and consider the words as we do. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about. Amen. So like I said the other morning, is to come in here and just feel the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, just being present. It's so nice. And knowing we're all enjoying it. So it's a good thing to have. Good to see Sister Roberta back there too. Haven't seen your face for a long time. Lord bless you. Let's just sing another song as we're waiting for others to come. And that's number 509, Keep Me, Jesus, as the Apple of Thine Eye. Keep me, Jesus, as the apple of Thine eye. Keep me under the shadow of Thy wing. Thou alone can live, lest I die. Keep me, Jesus, as the apple of Thine eye. Yes, let it be, Lord. Keep me, Jesus, as the apple of Thine eye. Hide me under Shall we stand and sing number 503, It's Setting Me Free, This Holy Ghost Power. And expect it too, because that's our promise by the Lord. It's setting me free, this Holy Ghost power. It's setting me free, this very hour. It's down in my soul. It's making me whole. It's setting me free, free, free. Blessings of God is on it. If you want to come to church, and I mean you want to come to church, there's no, it's a little bit different from just going to church, but wanting to come, that's the difference. I'd like to welcome our travellers back, that's Howard and June, and also Brian and Diane, travelling around, lucky people. So we think about it, but we pray the Lord would be with them all. So let us just open in prayer and welcome the people here and also overseas. Lord Jesus, it is a privilege to be able to come and fellowship. We know, Lord, we have it every Sunday. And there's other people that are joining in that aren't able to have it like we have it. But they're still welcome. They're very welcome. Anybody that loves the Lord Jesus Christ is welcome in His presence. And we know, Lord, that You want us to be blessed. You want to take the burdens off our shoulders. You want us to have the right attitude. And You want us to be prosperous and receive the blessings of God, because You promised that You would. We love You, Lord Jesus. Bless the people that join in, wherever they are. Be with the people that may still be coming. Those that can't come today, bless them anyway. We love You, Lord Jesus. Help us to open up our hearts to receive what You have for us. We ask these things in Your precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Well, let us sing number 653, Everybody Ought to Know. That's why we come to church as well, that to let people know that Jesus Christ loves them as well as us. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Thank you. ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to know. You know what? The Lord uses us to tell others. He does the work, but we meant to mention it to people. 638, all things bright and beautiful. Singing a few we haven't sung for a while, but it's all very good to praise Him. 638.
Made them all. Each little flower.
Haven't sung that one for a long time, have we? Very long, when we were in kindergarten. However, let us sing number 593, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. Give thanks unto the Holy One. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. One thing we can all do is give thanks for what the Lord has done for us. Let's sing another one. 592, Let's Talk About Jesus, the King of Kings is here.
Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is here, the Lord. Let's talk about Jesus.
9. You may be seated. Oh, it's good to give praise to the Lord. And if we do it with meaningful heart and a good attitude, you uplift your own soul. We don't have any items that I'm aware of. Jackson hasn't got one? Not yet. Okay. All right, well, we don't have any prayer requests either that anyone sent in, but is any here from the congregation, anything that we need to pray for? Tom? Your husband? Yeah, okay. I thought it was one of the kids. What's that? Oh, toothache. Okay, she's praying for a toothache. She's praying for to get rid of a toothache. We know what you mean, sister. Okay, we'll just hold it to your heart and just will as I pray. Actually, I have one that I want to pray. There's a woman that I want to pray for. So sad, so sad, so sad. We're in Disraeli Street, our street where it's, you know, very common. And coming into Disraeli Street is a Williams Street. And there's a lady there, she'd be in her mid-30s. And I've never ever met her, I don't know her name. But I've heard her screeching, screeching at the top of her voice. If you imagine what it's like if you were walking down the road and you just raised your voice as hard as you could raise your voice, and the terrible thing she was saying that was coming out of it. Now this woman is obviously demon possessed, yet she's dressed nicely. You wouldn't know if she was like anybody else, and she's walking slowly down the footpath and screeching this voice, no expression, just yelling. She's done it for a while. We've only just known about it. I thought it was a couple of children just screaming out like kids will. But this lady's in her mid-30s, I'd guess. Really needs the Lord. And so just as we pray, the Williams Street lady is what I'm going to call her. I've no idea. But that evil, evil Satan needs to be put down. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know of anybody in similar state, keep them in mind. We'll just remember our sister's toothache, that is going to go. And just remember Sister Mari's husband, Brother Tom. We don't call him brother yet, but we will one day, won't we? Just let's bow our heads and ask the Lord. Precious Jesus, You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are our Creator. You are the one we worship, the one that we love, the one that we come to. In time of need, we know, Lord Jesus, that You're there. And even this William Street lady that I've talked about, You love her too. I don't know how anyone would approach such a person, but I know the Holy Spirit can. So we just hold her up. It's so hard to see someone in that situation. She seems to do it in the mornings early, and there's the other odd time as well. Lord, just touch that woman, and we come against Satan in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've done it before. You've said so in the Word. You've just freed these people that are possessed. It's not the person. It's the devil within them. So we just command Satan that You leave that woman. And Lord, we just pray for our sister here in the service, Lord, that's got that toothache, and we say thank You, Lord, for undertaking. You are the healer, and we know that You will do it. Thank You, Lord. May we just hold on and believe to see that toothache go, even immediately. Lord, we pray for Tom Claffey, Lord. His need, Mari has just mentioned, Lord, and I just pray for him. Forget what it was now, Lord, but you know about these things. And Lord, just undertake for Tom Claffey, Lord. Lord, for those that are not here, for whatever reason, just bless them. And certainly bless those folks that join on the internet and the CD, wherever they are at their time of listening. Encourage them to hold on. They may not have fellowship where they are because they're not able. But Lord, you can be the comfort of these people, and we just remember them wherever they are on this earth. Undertake for them. Lord, just be with the services today and Brother Howard, and just undertake for us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. Okay. Right, Howard just told me that Nathaniel Bootsma, that's Sister Pauline's son, is in need, and that's where they are, why they're not here, down there in Hastings. So let's just pray again for Nathaniel Bootsma. We've prayed for him on quite a number of occasions for different reasons, Lord, and it's just Satan again that needs to be put down. So we just include his name in the putting down of Satan. Devil possessed. Well, he is the devil, of course, but greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. That's what the word says. And if we command in the name of Jesus Christ that Satan will go, he will go. In your name, Lord Jesus, thank you for doing it. Just be with Paul and Pauline, Lord, when they come back. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we have lunch today as usual. I wondered if we're having communion this afternoon at 1 o'clock service. And then Tuesday we have our 7 p.m. prayer meeting, and all are invited. Let's sing 591, O Glorious Victory. Shall we stand as we sing? name. I mean, do you know you're a daughter or a son of God? Tell you what, God knows it. Absolutely. Look, see, we didn't have an item or anything. Let's sing Just Any Day Now, number 579. Our Lord is coming, and then Howard will come.
Just any day now, our Lord is coming.
Any day now, you know, it could be this month. It's realistic what we're singing about, and you know it's the truth. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Thank you, Brother Lee. Any day our Lord is coming. I see the Only Believe book doesn't always have the verses. Yeah, but it's good to have the Lord. God bless you all, and it's great to see you all again. Bill, thank you for your ministry while we're away. And Brother Taz, who's not here, but he's coming this afternoon, his wife. And we just pray that the Lord will speak to us this morning. He sure spoke to me in Greece, that's for sure. Greece has a great need. Greece has a real need for God, like we do. And just want you to uphold the people who went to church on last Sunday in Athens. And my biggest problem over in Greece, you can guess it, I can't speak Greek. It's all Greek to me. And in fact, I was very tempted. I bought a T-shirt over there. It says, they printed it on for me right there and then. It says, it's all Greek to me. And it showed all the words, hello, thank you, and with all the Greek words next to it. And I was walking down, and the Greeks, I don't know what they thought of me, but they're all looking at it. But, you know, they have a great need. They're consumed with materialism, really. A lot of tourism. There's just so many nations are going through that land at all times. There's 5 million people in Athens alone. 5 million. And then all the tourists come in, and they it's just like a tsunami going down the main street where we were. Just restaurants as far as you could see. And but they really need the Lord. We had a good time with people and personal testimony. In fact, we got to know this restaurant owner. We've seen him before. His name is Yanis, or John. And he's an interesting fellow. He really is a lovely man. And we got to love him, actually. And we gave him a Bible. And he says he goes up to the monastery to pray. He goes up on his Suzuki 1300cc motorcycle, which goes from 0 to 100 in 3 seconds, so it's got a lot of punch. But he is a real nice man, and we should have an evening or something on the evening, but time will show some of the photographs and some of the videos of these people, and we testified to people on the island of Ithaca. where we were, where Jean's father was born. Also another restaurant owner, or a coffee owner really, coffee shop man, Peter, and his mother, and some of the ladies in there. And we spoke to him also, and come to find out he's related to June too. Come to find out everybody on the island of Ithaca is related to my wife. Isn't that amazing? Well, it's only 1,200 people. No, it was 2,000 people, was it? Not too many anyway, so it's really easy to become related. And we also met June's cousin, Arthur, and his wife, Jenny, who we went out twice with for a meal. They're actually from Australia, Sydney, Australia, but they live over there during the winter, Australian winter. They live over on the island where it's warm. And then the next 6 months they go back to Australia. We had a nice time with them and spoke to him about the things of the Lord and her as well. And they want us to go and visit them or stay with them, I'm not sure exactly, in Sydney. So just pray for them. They're the precious souls that really need the Lord. But you know, we went on again onto the rock. What's it called now? The Paul went on to the. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Paul went on to the rock of. Mars Hills, thank you. I had rock, it was hill I was looking for. Mars Hill, we went there, and he saw the sign to the unknown God. Come to find out the unknown God was that the Greeks are very religious, have many gods, and I think they had 10 gods or 12. And they had another god, which was, they didn't know his name, but they called him the unknown god. So Paul went and preached to the Greek Cretans and brought Christianity, and quite a number gave their lives to Christ, and a church was formed in Greece. And that's where to the unknown god was. It was a god they didn't have a name for. So that's why they said to the unknown god. But Paul filled them in. There's only one God, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it was really good to be amongst them. They're just a real nice people, the Greeks, actually. They're just easy to talk to when you can talk to them. Some you can talk to. Others just look at you because they don't understand what you're saying. It's all Greek to them. And we had a really nice time there and met a lot of people. But really, they really need a strong witness. The church we went to was very good. The pastor, he preached his church about 250 people. Two stories, maybe more than that, but I couldn't see down below because it was on the top balcony. And we just walked in, we're complete strangers. And we had an interpretation through a lady which interpreted very well, and he's preached the gospel spot on, perfect, Brother Bill, spotless, couldn't find fault with it at all. So what am I doing here? I've got a preacher, and not a fiery preacher or anything like that, not that that's important, but he did speak very well and brought a really good message. I don't even know his name, but it was good there, and the youth, quite a few youth, and they sang a choir, girls, the Hughes girls. And where's Tim today? Tim's not here. Anyway, when they sang, it was beautiful. Very nice, and would have loved to have been there a longer time, but we didn't have the opportunity. So just remember the saints there in Athens, and also my wife went to the island of Crete. The island of Crete, which is also a very nice place, and she went, Tom and Grace and her went to the church twice, did you go there? Oh, once, sorry. And very nice people, and they received them very well and had great fellowship after the service. And so, you know, if the Lord opened a way, we'd probably just go to Crete next time and visit them, maybe Athens, because you've got to go through Athens, and visit the saints there. But they are very fine people. And he also preached a very good message on faith last year. I was there. So just please uphold the people in Greece. I believe there's a bride in Greece. I believe that Paul went there, led of the Holy Spirit. He was there for 2 years. We went to a place called Corinth. That's where he wrote the book of Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians. And they were steeped in idolatry and all perverse things that you wouldn't believe. So we went to Corinth and we saw the ruins and we saw the shops that used to be where Paul used to walk. I've got quite a bit of footage on that. In fact, Tom is making up a video, which quite extensive, with my videos and Grace's videos. My daughter Grace is a pretty good photographer when it comes to taking video shots. Very good. And so we're going to, if we get that together, it'd be really good to show you the places that where Paul was. To me, it was a real blessing, and I just felt very honoured to be there. And I said on the video, I said, the great apostle Paul was here. And I said, oh, let me correct that. The apostle Paul, who had a great God in him, was here. Paul wasn't great. He was just a sinner saved by grace. He was a persecutor of the church. He was the chiefest of sinners, as he called himself. But the God got a hold of him and started to work in him. And I want to speak about that this morning, God working in you. So may God bless his word this morning. It's far easier to show you some pictures and things. I think we've got over 1,000 photographs and quite a bit of footage of video, not so much mine, but Grace took a lot. So they send their love to you all, and also Sister Amanda Stuckey from Louisville, Kentucky was with us. She's a real nice sister, and she sends her love to you all, and we had a really good time in the Lord just being together. So I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word this morning. The book of Philippians, chapter 2. It's a fact that when you go to a place and you see the place that Paul wrote from, for instance, things become more real. They actually materialize. You start to appreciate why he spoke about things like adultery and fornication so much in the Bible, a lot about it. It was rife in Corinth, absolutely rife as part of their religious ceremony, all that perversion. So I thank the Lord we had the opportunity. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I'd also like to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, which says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. May God bless the reading of his word, and I just wonder if we could just pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning very grateful for the mercy and grace of God that's been extended to us. Lord, we don't even, I really believe, Lord, we don't understand how gracious you have been to us and are to us now and will be in the future. Lord, I just praise your holy name. Lord, that you have allowed the sunlight of thy word to come across our hearts. Lord, that we know what the gospel's about. We're starting to appreciate the in depth of thy word and the power that's in the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us all to draw closer to you this morning, Lord. Maybe become more sincere with you, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to be casual or slothful in our approach to the things of God, for time is running out. We know, Lord, you're about to come and we want to be ready. I pray, Lord, you'll speak to every heart. Stir us up, Lord, as only you can. I commit this word to you. I thank you for the brothers and sisters here and those that are not here and those that are listening at this time too. May you bless them. We ask it in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this scripture, the first one especially, I have been quoted to a lot of people in Greece, actually, and different ones I was speaking to. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And I have been greatly blessed by that. I'm starting to appreciate something. It's not you. It's not you coming to God. It's God getting a hold of you and calling you and saving you and preserving you and keeping you and presenting you blameless on that day. Let's say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, I was really worried you lost your voice for a moment. Yeah, brother, sister, we really should be happy in the Lord. We are the blessed of the Lord. We are blessed beyond measure. You will have your trials, you're going to have your testings, and there's more to come. But I tell you what, God's going to take you through. Because he promised he would do it. And so we just thank the Lord for that. And so we see in Philippians 2:12, we read, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I just want to say this, brother and sister. This is very real to me. The things of God are not to be fooled with. They're not to be taken casually and, oh, yes, blah, blah, blah. I hate that saying, but people say it, blah, blah, blah. It's not you just saying, oh, this is what we believe. This is how it is. It's more than that. It's got to be a living life in you. 24/7. It's got to be your life. Your whole life is around Jesus Christ. Not about the world. Not about the things of this planet. It's all got to be about him. Praise the Lord. So it says, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now fear, which means with reverence and awe. In other words, when we come to the salvation, it should be come to it with reverence and awe. This is our salvation. And trembling, which means with self-distrust, trembling that you'll get involved, and with caution not to offend God. Our whole life has to be on that basis. 24/7, we don't want to offend the Lord. We've got to walk right. We've got to walk a sanctified life. God wants you sanctified. Cleaning up your life, get all those things out of your life that are offending him. Now, you cannot do this of yourself. Only God can do this. But we allow things to go on and just get used to it. Oh, this is how I am. Don't do that, brother and sister. God's going to clean you up. Who believes that? He's going to clean you up. And brother says, when he cleans, he knows how to do it. And he's going to clean us up for his glory, that he may fill us with his spirit. God will not fill an unclean vessel. He doesn't want the world in you. I read something Charles Spurgeon said. He said, you cannot share your life with the Lord, with the world and with the Lord. You can't say, well, I give some to the Lord, most of it you'd say. I'm going to give to the Lord and a little bit. I've just got to do things for myself. You know, brother and sister, he said, Eve, God has all of your life or none. He doesn't want your life. He wants all of you or none. And I think that's a very good statement. If we are dedicated, we are the bride of Jesus Christ. He's expecting us to give all our all to Him. We sing that song, I surrender all. It's only a three-letter word, A-L-L, but it encompasses everything. I surrender all. If you're not prepared to surrender all, you're wasting your time. You will not be the part of Bride of Christ. He wants all of you. You know why, Brother Bill? He wants to use you. And He cannot use you unless you give your all to Him. And that applies to me and to every one of us here and those you that are listening wherever you may be. God wants to use you, but He does not want you caught up in it. He wants you out of it. God wants to speak to you, through you like a microphone. This microphone I'm holding has absolutely no output of its own. Of course, it's not plugged in, you can see that. But normally it would be, and brother and sister, the microphone has no input to what's been said. It comes through God, and God wants to speak through you. God wants to use you. God wants to manifest His love through you. God wants to manifest His compassion through you and all those things to His children, wherever they may be. But He does not want you in it. He cannot use you while we're involved. He wants all of you. Now, I didn't have any of that written, but I've said it, and I believe God wanted it said. So we want to have a trembling as we come to God. Tremble that there's no Howard Sewell involved. Oh God, rip that stuff out of me. Rip Howard out. Rip Peter out and Bill out and all of us here. God, take that out of us and let it always be You that people will see. Christ liveth in me. They'll see. The Bible says we are an epistle seen and read of all men. People are reading you like a book. You know, brother and sister, I'm just going to say these things because it's coming on my heart. People are not stupid. People know whether you're real or not. People know whether you're just a religious person. You just go to church from time to time. Or they know that you know what you know and what you're speaking of is real. Who believes that? They pick it up like that. They're very smart. And they are reading you, the Bible says, like an epistle, like a book. They're reading you. We are epistles seen and read of all men. When you go to work, they're reading you. You may say nothing, but they're reading you. Your attitude and reaction to things, they're reading you. See what you will do about it. So we see these things are very important. We can see this very clearly from the Word of God. And I just pray that God will help us today as we consider it's God working in you. Remembering it is God working in you. Verse 13 of our first reading. Not your work, lest any man should boast. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:9, you've got nothing to boast about. That song which we hear sung so often, I am just a sinner. You're actually just a sinner. All of you. Saved by grace. And in you dwells sin in your body. It's there until Jesus comes. Sorry. And you've got to address that because it's going to rise its head constantly against your walk with God. It's your biggest enemy. It's sin in your flesh. The Bible says the flesh warring against the Spirit and the Spirit of God warring against the flesh. It's a troublemaker. It'll curse you. It'll hinder your walk. It'll make you miserable. So we've got to really take stock and get a hold of this by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the blood of Jesus, to control these things that come against us. So it's nothing we can boast about. We have nothing to boast about. It's all glory goes to Jesus. Who believes that? We'll give the glory to Jesus, not to ourselves. God forbid. So what does God do first, as we read in our first verse? The first thing God does, this is an amazing thing. Is everybody listening? Say amen. Amen. The first thing God does is give your will. It's God that works in you both to will. You don't get a will, you're not coming to God. God gives you the desire and the will to seek Him, number one. Isn't that powerful? Who believes that's powerful? You say, oh, it's me trying to get to God. No, no, no. He'll give you the will. And when He gives you the will, He's got something for you. That's number one. He gives you the will. And then He says, and then to do of His good pleasure. God has a purpose for your life, and He's going to use you according to His good pleasure, not yours. Not what I want to do, what I like to do, or I think I might do. No, you will do it according to His good pleasure, because it's God that worketh in you. Both to will, get a will, and to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know whether you know or not. Brother Joel has come back to the Lord. He's had a real experience. And, you know, I just think about Joel. He may have a few rough roads, but it's God working in him. And, you know, God's got to establish him. He's got to establish us all. You see, brother and sister, unless God does it, it all comes to naught. So we need God to do that for us. It's God both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, the Bible says in John 6:44, it says, no man can come to me. Oh, no man can come to me. But there is an exception, a proviso. That's right there, except there's one thing. No man can come to me, Jesus said, but there's one thing, except the Father which hath sent me draw him. If God doesn't draw you, you don't come to God. End of it. If God doesn't put the will in you, you don't come. So, brothers and sisters, we should be thankful for the will of God. We should be thankful for the desire He puts in our hearts to come to Him. The world are not, they're no worse than we are. We're all the same. We're on the same bucket. But God puts the will and the desire to do His good pleasure. Isn't that wonderful? So this is God's workings. It's God which worketh in you. And He says, I'll draw him. So you get that drawing feeling. You be thankful that you've got a drawing feeling. If you don't have a drawing feeling, you ask God to be merciful to you, that He'll give you that desire to be drawn close to God. And I will raise him up at the last day. I tell you what, come what may, I want to be raised up at the last day. What did Job say? Oh, I know my Redeemer liveth, and in the last day my eyes shall behold him. In my flesh I shall see him. Job knew that God was going to raise him up. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Now, Paul, he was a bad man. He may have been sincere in his approach, but he's deceived, totally deceived, wasn't he? He wanted to persecute the church, put them all in prison, put some to death. He disturbed the whole situation, his brothers and sisters. He didn't even realize. But Paul was called on the road to Damascus. I want to say that Paul was not down at the altar. Paul was not in the temple seeking God. Paul was not praying, oh God, save me. No, Paul had a band of soldiers with spears and swords. And he's going to capture people and kill some. And he was against the church. Now I want to say this. God can come into your life at any moment. No matter what you're doing, He can visit you like He visited Paul. And he fell off his horse and he landed down into the dust where he was taken from. And God called him, Paul, Paul. Why persecutest thou me? And Paul asked a really good question. He said, Lord, who are you? He said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. The shock, the horror that hit Paul. And we know that he lost his eyesight. He couldn't even walk. They had to lead him around. He couldn't even see where he was going. Why? He just met God. And God knocked his eyes out. Why? To get him to really think about what he'd seen. And then he started to speak to him. He said, now you go into the city and I'm going to meet with you. We know what happened. God came down and filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he went out for 3 years. You see, brother, sister, went 3 years out into the wilderness to seek the face of God. We don't take things lightly. We don't just come to church on Sunday, that's it. No, no, he went out 3 years out in the wilderness waiting on the Lord to see what God's word says. Where do I fit into this, Lord? What a 3 years that would have been. And the Holy Spirit just showed him all the things. And he was the man, as I said to you, we went where he was. And he laid out the whole gospel so clear, the Bible. Paul was a foundational teacher. He laid the scriptures out beautifully. He laid it down clearly for you and I to see. And how we should reverence the word of God. And all that is written through our brother Paul. So he was called. He had to be called. It was nothing to do with Paul doing anything. Paul was against Jesus. Against him. And you may be against the Lord. You may have a stubbornness in your spirit. God can break that just like that. And it's good when he does. Oh, it's a wonderful feeling when God breaks that stubbornness in you. And you know, sometimes we resist. We're resisting. But really all he wants to do is bless and bless and bless you. And he knows how to break it. And he broke Paul. Now the Pharisees, who were all very religious, had all their robes on and they knew all the scriptures backwards, had no calling. They weren't called. You can go to church all you want to, but you've got to be called. And then you've got to hear the call and you've got to respond to the call. When somebody calls you, they call out your name. They might say, Lee, they're expecting an answer. Yes. God calls you. He's expecting you to answer him. And so we see it takes a calling not to take it lightly, but with reverence and purpose to serve him. Our whole life here on earth is what? To serve God. Not to serve ourselves, to please ourselves, to have pleasure and do all those things that God allows you to have. That's nothing wrong with that. But the whole crux of your life is to be a testimony for God and to be used of him. It's actually a divine calling. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1. Now, Brother Paul took this very seriously, and so should we. Paul speaking, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. You know, when you become a prisoner, I want to say this right clearly. When you become a prisoner, you forfeit all your rights. Everything. I want to do that, you'll sit there. But I want to, you'll sit there. You cannot have this. We'll tell you what you can have, what you cannot have. That's what happens to a prisoner. They're locked up. They have no liberty to do what they want to do. But a prisoner of Christ is exactly the same, but it's blessed. You forfeit all the things I want to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. God says, listen, you're a prisoner. You're a prisoner of mine. And I'm going to lead you and I'm going to show you what you must do. That you'll do the purposes of my will, not yours. It's a devotion. It's a calling, a vocation, as we read on. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You see, brothers and sisters, we are called of God. This calling is pure. This calling is of God. It's not of you. You don't register in the seminary or in the monastery. We saw a lot of monasteries over there. You don't register in those places. When it comes to God, you're called to the vocation wherewith you're called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Isn't that beautiful? Keeping the, you know, brother, sister, we need to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Oh, brother, sister, I have failed badly. I confess it. that I have failed to keep the unity of the Spirit. If people didn't do it my way, wow, look out. But really, brother and sister, we're all a bit that way. We all come with that from our parents. But you know what we're going to do is come in lowliness and meekness and gentleness, the sweetness of the Holy Spirit, long-suffering with one another, forbearing one another, putting up with each other. Even if the brother or sister is wrong, you put up with him because you're keeping the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So this vocation is a calling, a divine invitation to embrace the salvation of the kingdom of God. And I'm very honored and privileged to say that God has given me the opportunity to embrace the salvation of the kingdom of God. And he's given it to you too. Who's glad he's given it to you? What a mighty privilege to be called and given an invitation to God. Brother and sister, we are blessed amongst millions. There's people out there who have no calling. They don't hear the voice. They don't have the heart. They don't have the will. They don't have the desire. God hasn't put it in there yet. Maybe they will later on. I don't know. But the thing is, you don't come to God until he calls you. But when he calls you, you come fast. You don't abuse the opportunity God is giving you. What a mighty privilege to be called and given an invitation to God. Not when we want to, but when he graciously calls us. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except my Father call him. Except. And that's how it is. Some say, I'll come when I'm ready. No, you can only come when he calls you. That is so real to me. Some people say, I'm not going to be a Christian. We've heard testimony. I'm not going to be a Christian. My wife is, but I'm not. She can do what she likes, you know. And they make all these statements and later on, God graciously comes. Isn't that wonderful? And God knocks at their heart's door, and because they are his child, and because they were in him before the foundation of the world, they cannot help but respond to the Heavenly Father. They love him. It's when God calls you, you respond. It's nothing to do with you. People say, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be, you can be nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And who knows what nothing means? Zero. Zero means zero. It means nothing. You can do nothing without God. Jesus said so. So, brother and sister, it's really good to get that calling come on you. And you gratefully, respectfully reverence it. Fear and tremble at your salvation to know that he's giving that opportunity. Like a person, a beggar coming to the king and saying, I will come when I feel like it. The king said, oh yeah? You can't come to the king when you feel like it. You'll come when he calls you. Are we walking worthy of God's call? Yeah, that's a big question. Are you walking worthy of this vocation? Are you walking worthy, respectfully, reverently, sincerely, of the calling of God he's placed on your life? It was nothing to do with you. He started moving, drawing you, calling you. I want you to come, my daughter. I want you to come, my son. I'm calling you. And he is so long-suffering and so patient. God is so good to us. He puts up with us, with our slackness and our laziness and our slothfulness. He puts up with that. Why? Because you're his. Now, sometimes he'll bring a little pressure to waken you up, but that's because he loves you. And the calling's on your life. I know the divine callings on my life. I know God called me from a young age. Now, God calls people at different times. Some may not get called until later on in life. But I tell you what, when he calls, you better move. Because that's your opportunity. And so we see, we want to walk worthy of it, leading a life with the right motives, with the right objectives. We're coming in the right way. Now, Ephesians 2:10, it brings it all back into God's court. And this is what he says. For we are his workmanship. created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are his workmanship. Yes, we are on his workbench, as it were. His workmanship. He's got you on the table and he's working on you. You have nothing to do with it. God is molding you and making you as he wants you to be. Our lives are under his supervision, not ours. We are his and will ever be his. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Let's say praise the Lord.
Praise.
Isn't that good, sister? You're God's workmanship. Isn't that wonderful? Nothing to do with you. He's called you, and you'll never be happy until you come to them. It's no longer I that liveth, we sing, but Christ that liveth in me. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, we read, "There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest," into God's rest, not your rest, "into his rest, he," the one who's entered into it, "has ceased from his own works." It's not you working. It's God working in you as God did from his. So, brother and sister, when the calling comes on your life, you're just going to do what he wants you to do. It's really wonderful. Takes all us out of it. You know, I've heard Brother Bradham say many times in the prayer line, he said, "Now I'm just waiting for him." People queuing up to be prayed for. He said, "I'm just waiting for him." And you realize I'm just as helpless as can be until he comes. And until God comes into your life, you're just as helpless as can be. But when the angel of the Lord came down, he said, "He's here. I take every spirit in here under my control for the glory of God." What a difference. He had no control, no power, but the Lord was standing next to him. And brothers and sisters, you can do nothing in your life until God calls you. And when he calls you, you are very blessed. And how reverent we should be with these things. Never become slack about it. Never become blasé and, "Oh, I'm a Christian for 50 years. It's not that. It's whether God's called you. And so when the calling comes, it's really wonderful. And when we enter into that rest, that's his rest, into the Holy Spirit, actually, what it is. We've ceased from your own works. I want to do this. I'm going to be a better Christian. You cannot be a better Christian until God gets a hold of you. Hallelujah. So we see, the Bible says we have good works, but not our good works. It says his works. We have ceased from our own works. And we've got his works, the workings of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, the only way God is going to do a work in you and the only way God's going to do a work in me is through Calvary. It's through Calvary that he purchased all that we need. He destroyed sin in the flesh. He destroyed the works of sin and the outcomings of sin. And he's given us eternal life. He's given us a resurrection power. He's given us the Holy Spirit. By his predestinated grace, he brings a death to self. And the death to self is true repentance. True repentance. When the Holy Spirit brings a true repentance, it's a death to our old nature. It's a death to it. It's such a wonderful subject. I'd love to preach on this sometime. A major subject. Why people have so many problems. Why they battle. Why they're falling down all the time. The devil comes and squashes you and pushes you down. You did this, you did that, you did that. Look what you were. Look at your life. It's nothing to do with your life. It's whether God's called you. And if he's called you, he's provided everything you have need of. Every failing in your life, every mistake in your life has been accounted for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Who's glad of that? Say amen. It's got to be reality to you, brothers and sisters. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. All to him I owe. So wonderful, the word of God. It's such a major subject. But anyway, we're just touching on it. Now, there's only one person that can live the life of Jesus Christ. And the first thing people go through, I wonder who it would be. Who would that be? Was it Moses? Was it Brother Branham? Was it the preacher? Was it? There's only one person who can live the life of Jesus Christ, and that is Jesus Christ himself. And the only way that can be manifest in your life is for him to come and live in you. He's got to be in you to live out of you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to live out of you. Praise the name of the Lord. I love that. We are new creatures in him, to be born again. Because God is perfect, so is his work in us perfect. God is not going to mess up on your life. You say, but oh, look at this, look at that. God didn't see those things. He's got one purpose, is to seat you at the wedding supper table. Through his shed blood and him taking your sin upon himself. That's why he wants to do it. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing. Now, brother and sister, we need to be confident. Oh, there's such a need for confidence. Oh, we get all stewed up. Oh, I've done this. I messed up here. This is not right. I failed today. Listen, you've got to have a confidence. And the confidence is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who is our perfect sacrifice. And if you're in him, you are made perfect. Do you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work. Remember, you're on his table. You're on his workbench. He which hath begun a good work in you. He's begun the work in you. He will perform it. He's going to finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's work in us will be perfected and come to a full completion before he comes for his bride. Do you know when the Lord comes, Brother Bill? The Bible says you'll look like him. Did you know that? Let's read it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Already. You're already a son and a daughter. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Do you know you're called this morning, brother and sister? Do you hear his still small voice? Do you hear his voice? So many hear the call, but do not take it seriously. They know God's speaking to them, and they ignore it. What a sad case. You're just carrying a big burden. You're going to have to carry that burden. But I tell you what, if God's got his call on your life, you will come to him. You surely will come. Sometimes they hear it in church. They hear the call of God. They walk out, and they forget all about it. Continue living in the things of the world with no conviction, even though God is calling them. Yes, so many hear the call, but do not take it seriously. I've got two men in the Bible I want to speak about very briefly, who heard the call but did not take it seriously. Unbelievable, actually. Acts chapter 26, verse 27. And Paul says to King Agrippa, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? And Paul says, I know that thou believest. Oh, listen to this. I know, King Agrippa, you believe. There's people here and hear my voice. I know you believe. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Oh, that's not good enough. Almost will never work, brother and sister. But he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He believed. Paul said he believed. Now, Paul would have known. Almost persuade me. I'm almost convinced what you're saying, brother. What about Felix? Who remembers Felix? He was the Roman procurator of Judea. Listen to what he said. In Acts 24, verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. Now listen to this. I want you to listen carefully. All listen, don't think anything else. Don't think about lunch. Think of this. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, the Bible says Felix trembled. I believe his knees started to knock together. And he answered to Paul, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." What a foolish statement that was. That was a convenient season when he trembled in the presence of the Lord. When Paul was speaking about faith and righteousness and temperance, judgment to come, the Bible says Felix trembled. He was wow, man, this is amazing. Oh, I can't take it more. Paul, get out of here. I'll call you when I'm ready. And missed his calling. Don't do that, brother and sister. If God's speaking to you, you need to respond to it. When I have a convenient season. Felix was under great conviction, but he did not answer the call. Felix thought he would come at a more convenient season. When I get married. When I finish building my house. And a thousand other reasons, I'll come to God. No, brother and sister, you got to come when he calls you. It's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His children will obey the calling of God in their hearts. They will. What a great assurance we have that his work in us is that heaven is behind it all. The angels of the Lord are watching over you and performing it. God himself is watching over you every hour of the day. He's watching you. He knows exactly what you think. Even now, he knows what you're thinking. Always keep these things in mind. Our God is a jealous God. We are the apple of his eye. And I love this verse in Jude 1:24. We bring this to a close. Jude 1:24 says, "Now unto him," who's him? The Lord Jesus Christ. "To unto him that is able to keep you from falling." I thought, oh, I'm a strong Christian. Forget it. If he doesn't keep you, you fall. "Unto him now that is able to keep you from falling and present you," Brother Bill, you're my example this morning, "present you, Bill, faultless, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Isn't that really wonderful, brother and sister? It's God that is able to keep you from falling. It's God's workmanship. It's God working on you and calling you. The scriptures declare it everywhere that it's God working in you. It's God working in you. In Hebrews 13, verse 20, we read, and then we're going to close. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you," now not you make you, he's going to make you perfect in every good work to do his will, not yours, "working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Who believes it's all God? Absolutely. End of it. It's all God working in you. It's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So I just sort of say, thank you, Lord, for calling me. Who's glad they called? Just stand to your feet if you believe that you're called of God this morning. Hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the calling of God in our life and the working of God in our life. We pray for those out there, Lord, who believe it too. Lord, that they are listening and believing, Lord, that you have called them and you're going to work it out for them. You're going to give them the Holy Ghost. You're going to give them their healing. You're going to bring them to a place to manifest your will and the glory of God in their life. It's all of God. And Lord, we thank you for this. It's not our strength. We have none. We are weak as kittens. But Lord, how great is our God. We praise you, Lord, and we glorify you for your keeping power and your saving grace, Lord, that's called each one of us here this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us all to understand this and stop going around striving and trying to work it all out. To say, Lord, I commit my life unto you. I give myself to you and I thank you for calling me. I ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Just bless each one, Lord. Cause us to really appreciate and reverence the call of God in our life and the workings of the Holy Spirit in our life. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made. Grace is grace all the way. Why unworthy Christ in love redeemed before his own. I have redeemed. Brother Bill to come and close in prayer today, if that'd be right.
I don't know.
Hallelujah! Isn't that wonderful?
But I know her.
thinking, you know, like initially how God is really real. He's real, you know, and I just was thinking about the last time a couple of weeks ago, and just something happened, and a couple of days later we just rang someone and something had happened, and I just thought, you know, just thank the Lord that He's real. We'd serve a real God. A real God. Was there anyone else who needed prayer today before we go? You know, I just wanted to share too how real He is. Jan was just saying at Bible in Schools on Friday morning, one of the children put his hand up and said, "What? God is real, you know." And anyway, I just want to encourage you, you know, for some of you about Bible in Schools, because there was a song there that we sang right at the beginning. The one that had all the verses, but we... No. Everyone ought to know. All the children ought to know. And I really wanted to encourage you, fellas, about Bible in Schools, you know, like, because those kids, some of them do not know God. And you don't have to teach a lesson. You can just go along with a teacher and just be there for that half an hour and sit with that teacher and just provide them with some support and encouragement. I really want to encourage you fellas to do that if it's on your heart to do that. Even if you can't do that, even if you just say to someone who does Bible Schools, "I'm going to pray for you at that time." I know there's faithful people here in Gisborne who pray for that ministry, and that those children are actually, they're starting to know who God is. So I want to encourage you, fellas, to do that. I want to challenge you, even if you've got a spare half an hour, to go along to Elgin School or Cobham School or Riverdale School or wherever, and just sit in class with that teacher and just support them and just be there with those children. You know, it is a great, great ministry to share God's love. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the truth of Your Word that's been preached today. I just loved it, Lord. Lord, just the truth of the Word and what it just does in our heart, that truly we are Your workmanship, Lord, and we are on Your bench. And we can't sharpen ourselves up by ourselves, Lord. We can't fix ourselves up by ourselves. We have to have someone to fix us up, to sharpen us up, to oil us up, Lord, and to, air compressor and just blow. I had a message there. I know You just spoke to my heart about something to preach about sometime. But, Lord, that's us. We are Your workmanship, Lord. We're in Your hands, Lord Jesus. We're clay in Your hands. And so, Lord Jesus, just mold us, Lord. And that we would just have that, when You called, it says, today is the day of salvation. You know, as you're passing by, just remember Nanny Winnie Farahinga just saying that was a scripture that led her in Isaiah. That we wouldn't turn it down, Lord. That when You call, we'd say, "That's us. That's me. Send me, Lord." Nothing of ourselves, but it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, Lord, just use us for Your purposes and Your will this week, Lord. That we'd yield ourselves to You, Lord. We just pray for those who are not here, those amongst the congregation who are not here, Lord. That You just touch their lives today, Lord, and also those in other places in New Zealand and overseas, Lord, that You would just draw them unto Yourself closer and closer every day, Lord, that we'd put the things, the busyness of life to the side and just yield ourselves to You, Lord, and that You would come and just, that Your will would be worked out in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. We might as well say grace in there, eh? Or say grace here. And Lord, we thank You for the kai that will be shared after this, Lord. We thank You that we've received spiritual food, food that is so essential for us, Lord, just to walk this life after this, Lord, the first day of the week and then out for the rest of the week, Lord. We thank You for that sustenance that we've received. And I pray too, Lord, that You would bless the food that's been prepared for us in the kitchen now, Lord, and that it would give us the strength this day and the days ahead, Lord, just to serve You in a greater way because of what You've done in us. In Jesus' name, amen.